Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we celebrate during this time of the year, the birth of the King. We focus in on that. I remember whenever my kids were born, they had this this little procedure that sounded a little sci-fi type, where you could save the umbilical cord, like not you, but they would store it for you in a bank for a lot of money. And then you had to pay a fee every year because they said down the road you might get sick and you might need it. And the umbilical cord, particularly with the stem cells in that cord, have some healing properties and whatnot. And we never really thought anything about it other than dollar signs. That's what we saw. And so we kind of refrained from that. But turns out that there are doctors across the United States that are seeing some incredible things done with stem cells, particularly with a spinal cord injury. And so we've been talking to a doctor, which my step-sister-in-law works for, and we're going to go down to Houston next month to be injected. Catherine's going to be injected with some stem cells, and we're hoping that you join us in praying that that'll be for her healing, for her spinal injury, that the Lord will use that. Ladies, when they give birth, they're able to donate that to hospitals, and that's where they're going to be using those cells from the umbilical cord of basically a newborn baby after the newborn's born. There is a cop in Houston that has a similar spinal injury that he is walking now from that type deal. So if you join us in praying for that, we'd appreciate that. You know, everyone loves hearing stories like that, right? These good news stories of maybe a sickness or an injury that a person through the Lord, through healing, has gotten over or has improved. Everybody loves hearing a good story, whether it be about medical or anything else. Well, this morning we're going to see the best story. You're going to love the good news in this story. So if you found Luke chapter 2, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.' When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had all heard and seen as it had been told them." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. So this morning, we're looking at the good news. Okay, not just good news, but the good news. Like if there's news out there that's good, it is this. It is the gospel. And so we're gonna see what this good news means to us this morning. You guys with me? All right, number one, here's the good news: that we have a Savior in Jesus. That we have a Savior in Jesus. So if you look at verse 10, it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Okay, so we went in Jesus. The good news is that you and I get a Savior. Now back then, whenever Jesus was born, there was sort of this misunderstanding as to what Jesus would save the people from. Like there was this idea that the Savior would be sort of the next David, the next King David, who would lead Israel to reestablish itself as the powerhouse of the world. Okay, when David was in control, Israel was they expanded their borders basically as far as they wanted to go, and a little bit further when Solomon, his son, was king. And so the idea was that the Messiah, the Savior, would rise to power, and he would liberate Israel from Roman oppression, and Israel would once again be the nation on the face of the earth as far as what the known world was at that time. And so there was this idea that that's what the Savior would be about. But we see in Matthew that that's not the case. Luke doesn't record anything to do with Joseph concerning before Jesus is born. Many scholars say that because Luke investigates after the fact, and so he's talking to and interviewing people that he would write about. In his gospel, many scholars say by now Joseph was dead. You don't read about him much beyond the early time of Jesus. But Matthew records in Matthew chapter 1, sort of this picture of Joseph. Joseph has this dream. He is about to divorce Mary. You know, even though they're not technically married yet, he's about to call it all off. But an angel comes to him, and look what Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 says. It says, "But as he considered these things, what to do concerning his wife, who's now pregnant, or his fiance, who's pregnant, even though he's not been with her, he's considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Listen, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Okay, so if there's any, there's no doubt, if there was a doubt of why Jesus came, Matthew chapter 1 identifies what his saving is going to be about. He's going to save his people from their sins. Now that's really not a big deal to us, and here's why. Because we have a tendency to minimize our sin. Right? Like, we have a tendency to minimize our own sin. So if you sin, it's a big deal, right? Because you're sinning. But for me, it's not really sin. It's just my little problem, right? It's just a little problem I'm walking through. Not really sin, just something small that I'm working through. And we even say it like this whenever we sin, or we're caught, or we're called on the carpet for it. Here's what we say. Well, everyone does it. Everyone sins, right? And everyone does sin. Like, Scripture points that out. But what we do is we tend to minimize whatever our problem is, whatever our sin is, like it's not that big a deal. Or we don't talk about it with other people, whether it be maybe we see someone in sin and we don't want them to drown in sin, because sin destroys everything it touches. We don't want that to happen, but we don't really want to approach anyone in their sin, right? Because we don't want to offend them. We don't want them to be upset with us. We don't want to cause controversy. And so what we tend to do is we tend to minimize sin. But can I tell you that sin is horribly offensive to God? Like not just sin, your sin and my sin is horribly offensive to God. And if you want to know how offensive it is, all you have to do is look at the cross and see how his son, his perfect son, was crucified, what his body was mutilated and destroyed, all because of our sin. Like, that's how offensive it is to God. And so God, our sins have to be paid for, is what Scripture teaches us. And so what God does, rather than making us pay for our sins for all eternity, he sends Jesus to live the life that we never could live, to die the death we should have died, thus saving us from the penalty of our sins. But I want you to know that our Savior, what his work on the cross did, it doesn't just save us from the penalty of our sins, but it actually saves us from sin. Like, did you know that you don't have to continue in your sin today? That whenever Christ came into your life and he gave you the Holy Spirit, with that comes the ability to say no to sin, to say no to the flesh, and to say yes to God. Like, you and I, we're incapable of doing that outside of Christ. But because Christ dwells within his people, he not only saves us from the penalty of sin, but he saves us from actual sin. So whatever it is you brought in here this morning, you can walk away from that. Not because you're strong, not because you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but because our Savior is strong, and He died to take away our sin. He's the Savior. And I love the fact that He reveals this to shepherds. Shepherds were sort of the blue collar, maybe they would be considered the low end of the totem pole in this particular society. In fact, there were other nations that if you were a shepherd, you were considered unclean just for having that profession. I love the fact that God shows up to shepherds. He could have showed up to anyone. He could have showed up to the priest in the temple. He could have showed up to the mayor of the city. He could have showed up to the king. But who the angels, who God decided to send the angels to, were the shepherds. I mean, these guys aren't even seeking God. Like when it comes time to go to temple, comes time to worship, what are they doing? They're out in the fields taking care of sheep. Like God's not on their radar. They're not sitting around studying prophecy, wondering when the Messiah is going to come, and then the angel shows up and announces it, because they've been studying that. Their job is to take care of sheep. They weren't seekers, but that's who God picked to hear the message that the Savior had been born. And did you catch what verse 10 said? That the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, all the people." Do you know what that means? That means that if you wandered in this morning and you're hearing this good news, you're hearing that the Lord died for you to pay the penalty for your sin, don't you know that this Savior is for you? He's for you. And you can be forgiven today by giving your life to Christ, by trusting in Him. The good news, number one, is that we get a Savior. We get a Savior in Jesus. But number two, not only do we get a Savior in Jesus, but we get great joy in Jesus. We get great joy in Jesus. So verse 10 is going to say this. Verse 10 says, "The angel said, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" So not only do we get a Savior in Jesus, we get great joy in Jesus. So the universe is designed to function a certain way. It's designed to run a certain way. God designed it that way. He designed not just the universe, not just the stars and sun and moon, but He designed you and me to run, to function a certain way. But what sin does is it sort of derails things and gets us off what we were created to run on. Okay? So I'm a hunter. You guys know that. So I'm hunting with my rifle, and this big buck walks out. So I'm like starting to get buck fever and salivate and getting all excited. And so I raise my gun up to shoot, and I shoot, and nothing happens. I can just picture him laughing at me, trotting off over the hill. I mean, that's what happened in my mind. And so I miss, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm kind of far, and I just missed. Well, like a few days later, I miss again, but it's like really, really close. Like I probably could have threw a rock at the deer and maybe knocked it out. I'm like, that's how close it was, and nothing happens. Again, the deer trots off laughing at me. Okay, that's what happened in my mind. Okay, and so I'm thinking something's probably not right here. And so Judd takes the gun out to their little range, and he's shooting. And he's like, "Here's the problem. You're shooting 6 inches low. Somehow the scope is messed up, and it's shooting low rather than the dead center. And so whenever I take a long shot, it's like a foot low, right? And so that's sort of the problem, that my gun has gotten kind of out of alignment somehow. And I'm still not sure someone hasn't sabotaged my stuff, but whatever the case is, it's out of alignment. Can I tell you that that's what sin does for us? That it gets us out of alignment, and we think life should function a certain way, and we think that we should have a certain amount of joy or a certain amount of peace, a certain amount of happiness. And what happens is because we sin, life is now out of alignment, and we're not hitting where we feel we need to be in life. And can I tell you that that's not just a Christian problem? Can I tell you that no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, you can interview an atheist, you can interview an agnostic, you can interview, doesn't matter, interview anyone, and anyone's going to tell you that there's something wrong with the world. Like, that's what we all agree on, is that there is something wrong, something has gone wrong with the world. And here's the common thought among people is, well, Maybe it's just the people I'm around that's maybe that's the reason I don't have joy. Like my spouse isn't bringing me joy, and so if I was just with a spouse that treated me like this or acted this way or did this, then I would be happy. Or I know what our family's missing. Our family is missing a child. If we just had a baby, then we'd be happy. Or if I just got a promotion at work, or if I just had this job, then I'd be happy. Or if I just made more money, then I'd be happy. The problem is you get these things and either have the same or a whole nother level of problems. Because none of this delivers. In fact, if you were to read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote the whole book on pursuing things that he thought would bring joy that doesn't. And so he chases pleasure, he chases women, he chases good food and good wine, and he chases hard work, and he chases accomplishments. He chases all the things that he thinks would bring him happy, only to find out that it's not there. That it's not there. Why? Because you and I were created to run on a certain thing, and his name is Jesus. In fact, John 10, Jesus is going to say that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And don't you just feel that? Don't you just feel that there's something after you, no matter how hard you try, something is working against you, stealing your joy? John says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come, in John 10, I have come that they may have life and life to the fullest. You ever thought about that? I mean, we think that he's come to bring us life so that down the road I'll have eternal life. That's why he came. And certainly that's true, but that's only half true. That the life that Jesus comes to bring is not for you to walk in joy somewhere down the road, not to walk in a full life somewhere down the road, but to walk in fullness of life now. December 23rd, 2018. Now. Jesus came. The good news is that Jesus came to bring us joy. Your joy is not found in your circumstance. I'm just going to say, I'm asking you to pray like for healing for my daughter, for her legs and her back and all that. Like I'm asking for that, but I'm convinced. I know this to be true. That joy is not found in her walking again. Joy is found in Jesus. And that's what we get here. The good news is that we get a Savior in Jesus. And we get great joy in Jesus. But there's a third thing here. There's a third thing that we get in Jesus. Number three, we get peace in Jesus. We get peace in Jesus. So verse 14 is where we see this. If you want to follow along. Verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, is what the angels say. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the thing about joy and the thing about peace is you can't buy it. Like peace, you can't go to Walmart and buy a can of peace on the shelf. Okay, it doesn't work that way. I tried to find peace on Amazon. Because it's better. Amazon's better than Walmart because it gets there the next day. You don't have to fight the crowds. It's incredible. Yeah. So here's it. When I looked at Amazon, I found a ton of books on peace. Okay. And if you were to go to the library, if you want to know where they are, you just go to the self-help section. Okay. Because this author says that you find peace here, and this one says here, and this one says here, and they're all relatively about different things. Okay. And so you might have those books on your shelf. You might have tried to walk in it and found a certain level of peace for a bit of time, only someday to have that peace taken from you. Okay, because peace is not found in a book other than maybe this one, right? Like this is where we find peace. Okay, but here's some other things I found on Amazon. I found a candle on Amazon. There it is, peace and tranquility. And I'm kind of skeptic of this one because whenever I started reading the description, it didn't say anything about peace or how that's accomplished. So I'm thinking that's a name to try to sell that product to someone who's lacking peace. Okay, here's what I found. Also, I found essential oils. Okay, that one's peace and it's 100% pure. Okay, but here's what else I found as after I've done some digging. Here's the next picture. You can't really read that, but there on the right side it says for external use only. Okay, how much peace is internally, and they're saying this, it's an external product. Okay, and I'm not knocking essential oils. I am the way I am because I've got some in this. I've got some essential oils in here, and that's saying external use only. So maybe that's why I messed up today. But I'm about to lose my voice, so you have to just bear with me as I'm drinking some peppermint water, essential oils. But it says for external use only. Why? Because you can't buy it. Whatever the world promises peace is a mirage at best that will not deliver on its promise because peace is elusive. It's elusive. Since 1999, the suicide rate in the United States of America is up 30%. In 2016, which was the latest statistics I could officially find, 45,000 Americans took their own life in 2016. There has been a significant rise in teenagers and even children suicides within the last several years. Can I tell you that it's easy to lose hope? Particularly at this time of year. Like maybe you lost a loved one during this time of year. Or maybe this is the first Christmas without a loved one, and that's your soul is lacking peace. You know, depression is particularly at a high. Studies show during this time of year. Maybe it's because that's when all the family's together and you don't get along, but you got to because it's Christmas, and maybe there's a whole host of reasons why you could be at a loss of peace during this season. Can I tell you what your soul needs is peace, and it's found in Jesus. When we were at, I've mentioned this before, whenever Catherine and I were at California and Randy had come back to take care of the kids, and she just wasn't getting better and nothing was improving, and I was 1,500 miles away from anyone that loved me, had no one to talk to other than doctors and nurses that were kind of coming in and out. There were some dark days, some hard times, whenever we didn't know what was going to happen with her. Open heart surgery, had the stroke, we didn't know it at the time, trying to recover. And there were days that I didn't know if I was going to make it. There were times that I texted my group of guys and said, I don't care what you're doing right now. You've got to stop and pray now, or I'm not going to make it. And can I tell you that God took the closest thing to a panic attack I think I've ever experienced. And His Spirit just flooded that room like a warm blanket on a cold day. Just like that. Because He brings peace. That can't be explained. It can only be experienced. It goes beyond understanding, is how Paul describes it. Joy, peace, salvation. All comes in Christ. The shepherds found it when they found Jesus. So look at verse 17. when the shepherds saw it, when they came to the manger, when they went to Bethlehem, when they saw what the angel had said, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So the shepherds are affected. The shepherds are changed forever because of their encounter with this Christ child who would save them from their sins, who would bring about great joy, and would bring about great peace. And they're so affected that everywhere that they went, they spoke of what they'd seen, what they'd heard. Because they got it. Do we get it? Don't miss this. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to go home, and Christmas is going to roll around on Tuesday morning. We're going to wake up, and if we've got kids or grandkids, at some point we're probably going to say something like, but let's really remember what Christmas is about. It's about Christ. And then we've said that so many times, I think we forget the fullness of it. Christ is about Christmas, so what? Here's so what. So you can have a Savior. And so, listen, so you can be set free from your sins. Not just the penalty of sin, but how you can be set free from whatever it is that is entangling. You can be set free today because of our Savior. That you can have joy today because of Savior. Not that mask that we put on where everything's okay when we come to church. You can have real joy today. You can have real peace today. Where when someone says, how you doing? Fine. Where that's true. Where that's true. Because of Jesus. The good news of the gospel is that we get a Savior in Jesus. And what the sort of the icing on the cake is that we get great joy in Him. And we get peace in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God that saves us from our sins, from the penalty, and from us continually walking in them. God, we thank you that you bring great joy. And we thank you that there's perfect peace in you. And God, I pray for the man, woman, boy, or girl who's struggling with any of those three. I pray that today they'll be set free by you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.